What's on your heart today on this feast of Saint Teresa of Avila?
You know, these great heroes of prayer, she is a magnificent saint, and but what she her calling, she's a doctor, and she's a woman, and she's a religious, but her calling was to teach us how to pray. And the teachings of our Lord in John's Gospel, they go right to the they go right to the heart of the matter today. And I would just like to emphasize and what you were bringing out about Saint Teresa, and that is that this is for mothers and fathers and families. Her life is exemplary in the sense of how do I live my life? Her teaching on living life in union with God. The saint, or Saint Teresa, John Paul II, John the 23rd, all the saints, Saint Pio, they've come to see, Saint Catherine of Siena, that only with God can we live. And actually live. All living is in him. From the 15th chapter of John's Gospel, beginning with the first verse, Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He takes away every branch in me that does not bear fruit, and everyone that does, he prunes so that it may bear more fruit. You are already pruned because of the word that I spoke to you. So the life in us, I am the vine, you are the branches. This is what he's teaching. You are already pruned because of the word that I spoke to you. Remain in me, and I remain in you, just as a branch cannot bear fruit on its own unless it remains on the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. So that all of life, what does the saint teach us? The saint teaches us that there is no life outside of God. We have no power outside of God. And Saint Teresa is going to exemplify this for us. Whoever remains in me and I in him or her will bear much fruit, because without me, you can do nothing. They have grasped that. Without me, you can do nothing. So that in our daily lives, fathers and mothers and children, without union with God, without union through, with, and in Jesus Christ, there is no remaining in the Father, and there is no remaining in Christ. I am the vine, you are the branches. He is the head, we are the body. Life comes from him. There is no other life. All of life from the history of mankind. And so God's purpose in uniting us with Jesus through the power of the Spirit, anyone who does not remain in me will be thrown out like a branch and wither. People will gather them and throw them into a fire, and they will be burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, what am I speaking? I'm speaking his words. What am I saying? I'm saying things that are bringing life. Ask for whatever you want, and it will be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. The life of Teresa of Avila was united with him. Did she at times not remain in him? Sure she did. And that's the testimony of her life. And so her life is to teach us how to be united with God, how to be united with Jesus. And when we are more and more united with him, then we grow in love, in power, and in grace. In that same teaching, Paul, who is the doctor of grace, is going to exemplify how she did this. Paul is a doctor of grace. This is also in her Mass today. And what a great instruction Paul gives us from his letter to the Romans, the 8th chapter. When we're going to emphasize the life of Teresa of Avila and all the saints, what did they do? They remained in Jesus, Jesus in them. How did they do this? They did this by the power of the Spirit. God sent the Holy Spirit upon the apostles. They were transformed and united to Jesus. Paul grasped that reality, that truth. Paul is teaching us through his teaching, through his letters, because he himself was broken away from the Lord. Who are you, he said to the one he was persecuting. I am Jesus. You are Jesus? You're the one I'm persecuting? He grasped that truth. How he was the persecutor of Jesus because he was persecuting Christians. Now he becomes baptized. Now he realizes, and the power of the Spirit enters into him, and Paul begins to teach us. He's truly a powerful voice for our teaching. As he teaches us in the 8th chapter of Romans, we know that all creation is groaning in labor pains, even until now. He sees the whole world in labor pains. What is that that we're bringing forth? Jesus. When I look at the map of the world, when I see all of creation, this is what he's saying. But we know that all creation is groaning in labor pains, even until now. And not only that, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we ourselves groan within ourselves as we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. We are becoming one with Jesus. We are groaning. We are in labor pains. I am. Am I completely in him? No. Every single day. I gave Mother Teresa a retreat in May of 1997. She was not yet complete. She didn't die until she was fulfilling, because she was in labor pains, groaning to have Christ in her perfectly. She died in September of 1997, that same year, but every single day she was groaning. We also groan within ourselves as we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now, hope that sees for itself is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? I don't see this complete union that I have with God. But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait with endurance. In the same way, the Spirit too comes to the aid of our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we ought. But the Spirit itself intercedes with inexpressible groaning. And the one who searches hearts knows what is the intention of the Spirit, because it intercedes for the holy ones according to God's will. Those who have this kind of power in God, as Saint Teresa did, are those whose lives are where the Holy Spirit went so deeply and so one with her soul, remaining in her, she in him. Every once in a while, someone comes like that who can teach us and be an exemplar for us, a model of prayer. Listen to how Paul explains that. See, that same Spirit is groaning within you. You do not really know, but you hope with endurance for unity with, when you go down, when you hear, Jesus and I are one, he in me, I in him. And then Paul, in that great mystery of union, is explaining how this happens in prayer. In the same way, the Spirit too comes to the aid of our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But the Spirit itself intercedes with inexpressible groanings. And the one who searches hearts knows what is the intention of the Spirit. So as you go more deeply into the union of you and the Spirit, because it intercedes for the holy ones according to God's will, which is exactly what you're doing constantly, Chris. The discerning of what it is that is God's will in the deepest part of my being. Now, the greatest union that we can have, how do we remain in him and he in us? Because the Jesus who is in us always does the will of the Father. Whether you know it or not, fathers and mothers, children, everyone who is baptized is in united with Jesus. Jesus in you is always doing the will of your Father. You at times are not in the same mold as him. You're not in the same track. You are doing other. That, when you do that, that's nothing. When you are in union with him and he remain in me and I in you, that will bear much fruit. What is that that he in you will do and wants you to do? Then you are in union with him. The magnificent teaching of a woman like Saint Teresa of Avila is that she teaches you how. In her book, The Interior Castle, as you go into yourself, some of you, you may be even listening to me now, priests, bishops, lay people, fathers, mothers, whoever you may be, when you go into your heart, where do you find yourself in your heart? And she says, it's like a castle. Your heart is like a castle. Some may still have in your heart mortal sin. That's your castle. And you've gotten so used to living in that castle that there are snakes and scorpions, deadly things that can actually bring about your death. But you have gotten so used to living in this interior life, in this castle, that you become familiar with sin, the greatest evil in the world, because it takes you away from God. It kills that divine life. There is no greater evil. If you go into that castle, if you were to discover that you had cancer or that you had AIDS or heart trouble, it's not as bad as if you're in this. That's what she teaches us. That's what the Holy Spirit is trying to teach us in that inner castle. Yet how many millions and millions of souls have in their interior castle those deadly things? Now the Holy Spirit is constantly trying to call us out of this, to take us from one castle to another. Maybe in that life, when you led that life away from God and you saw how empty it was, how unfruitful it was, how it caused anxieties, worries, fears, unhappiness, because you were never meant for that. The Holy Spirit guiding you into another castle. And so some who are listening and some who are here with us have sin in their lives, but they're only venial. They really aren't deadly. They don't kill the divine life, but they limit it. But it's deliberate falling away from union with Jesus Christ. Some anger, some annoyance with people, some God, whatever that might be. Oh, it's not a mortal sin, but I do it. And this I become used to. It's like, she says, living in a castle with flies, with mosquitoes. They don't kill you, but they just make life unhappy and unpleasant. Why do you have to live with those in your castle? You actually don't. You can be called out of that. And after a time, there are those, through the power of the Holy Spirit, she says, that want to enter into another castle. You discover God's will. You discover a desire in prayer. And so every day you get up, and that's the third castle. Every day you have such a lovely garden. You take your little bucket and you water your virtues. You sprinkle them. You make sure that you and God, through prayer, through sacrifices, you want to do and you want to produce for God some fruit. And it becomes very beautiful. Day after day, I'm doing this wonderful works. I'm saying these prayers. I'm growing in holiness. And the Spirit now, no, I no longer am sinning. And here I am each day. I have little flowers and even little trees growing and beautiful gifts that I'm presenting to God on a daily basis. Then she says the Spirit comes and you begin to feel uneasy with all the things I'm doing in order to grow in virtue. And the Holy Spirit is taking you deeper and deeper into Jesus. And this is a marvelous gift that some of us have, and some of you do, and are being called from the third castle to the fourth. And that is where you begin to realize that it isn't you who are watering your garden. It isn't you who are digging and producing this fruit. It's Jesus, He who is within you. It's the Spirit who's calling you to deeper holiness. And then interiorly, you begin to experience the power of God to grow your garden. You depend on Him. And she said, that's like waiting for the rain. And it's the rain that produces the crops. Without me, you can do nothing. The Holy Spirit is taking you more deeply into your interiority. I am beginning to learn that it is not I who do it, but it is Christ within me. And there is such a resting. Come to me, all those who are burdened in labor. I will give you rest. She brings us to a deeper and deeper awareness that it is He who is within us who produces the virtue, who produces the fruits and the virtues of peace and joy and love and patience begin to grow in the Christian soul. As she takes us more deeply, she goes on, Teresa of Avila has been visited by God with these ecstasies of union with God, that the soul here on earth was made to be one with God. And who is that for? Just her? No, it's really made for every one of us. All of us can actually here on earth. She says and teaches us, heaven is all the way to heaven for those who love God. I can actually enter into union with God 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That perfection of the divine love is because he wants that for me. He, the Father, sent Jesus into me the day I was baptized and had a plan for me to be one with his Son. My resistance and my not cooperating only interferes. All I do, if I become perfect, is nothing. He does everything. That divine will is made for every human being in the world. If you're listening, your call is to be one with God through, in, and with Jesus Christ. That is your calling from the moment you were created, from the moment you were baptized. And if you haven't yet received baptism, the Holy Spirit is operating in your Jewish soul. The Holy Spirit is operating in your Muslim heart. The Holy Spirit is operating in your Hindu spirit. The Holy Spirit is operating in you because you are his creation. Listen to Paul again. That magnificent teaching that Paul gives us. We know that all creation is groaning in labor pains, even until now. And not only that, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we also groan within ourselves, as we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies, every bit of us. Your whole being is being called to union with God. For in hope we were saved. Now hope is not hope for those who see, for who hopes for what he sees. But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait with endurance. And so here we are. Here was that, really, my image of that is Mother Teresa. When she came that during that retreat, all the world said she was perfect, but God knew. He wasn't finished with her yet. God isn't finished with you and me. God is calling you. In the same way, the Spirit, too, comes to the aid of our weakness, for we do not know how to pray. We do not know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself intercedes with inexpressible groanings, and the one who searches hearts knows what is the intention of the Spirit, because it intercedes for the holy ones according to God's will. Even now, every human being, whoever you are, wherever you are, God is calling you to holiness. God is calling you to perfection, no matter how you think you might be, how far you may be away from God, whatever sin you may be steeped in, there is a calling and a reaching out. God's will is your not only salvation, but your holiness. God's will is your sanctification. God's will is that you be with Him for all eternity, in, through, and with Jesus Christ. That Jesus, the Son of the living God, He sent down to be in you and with you and through you, and you are part of His great plan of salvation. And right now, when we sit back, as Paul was saying, how do we see this in the Spirit? The wars and the violence and the conflicts, and if, even with history. You know, when Teresa of Avila lived in her day and she saw it, some of her famous sayings I think I would like to share today with you. She said, not only that heaven is all the way to heaven for those who love God, but all things are passing. Only one thing is important, God. What is this in the light of eternity? That's one of our famous sayings. When this happens to you today, whatever that might be, what is this in the, see it with regard to its eternal backdrop. She would have ecstasies and levitations. She told God, I don't want anything. I don't want anything except your will. Nothing. She would have ecstasies. She would have levitations. She would have all these extraordinary gifts. Nothing mattered to her except to do His will. One day, she was riding around from one convent to another, bringing reform to the Carmelites. And her horse threw her, and she landed in a ditch and broke her leg. And she looked up at God and said, what did you do this to me for? And God said, I do that to all my friends. And she said, no wonder you have such few friends. She had a marvelous sense of humor. The nuns were so luxurious with some of their habits that they had, the clothing that they wore, soft, and she wanted them to wear more poor garments. And so she got this breeze for them to make their garments, which was a much cheaper cloth. And one day she was with them, and they were kind of groaning about the fact that they had to wear this new habit. And she said, oh, dear Lord, may the fleas not get into our breeze. She was quite a lady. And I just think she has much to teach us today.
And she's an extraordinary example of an ordinary woman who did extraordinary things because of her allowing God into that union. I mean, her life was... Monsignor, she is a good example of for those who have those experiences later in life, too. I mean, she, even though she had entered the religious life early, it wasn't until she was in her late 40s did she really have that deepening in prayer. Unlike, you know, for example, a Saint Therese who was seemed to have had it, you know, almost in her entire life. And her obedience, too. That's a hallmark for Teresa.
And I think brought about in her day the renewal of this way of life. I remember Mother Teresa telling her contemplatives that this could be the laziest way to live. The contemplative could either be the laziest person in the world or the greatest gift that we could have. Because it's a total giving of oneself. And who's going to know except God whether you've done it or not? The blessings that come to us, I'm convinced, from the contemplative, those who achieve contemplation, the contemplative could do more in 15 minutes than the actives can in 15 years. Because it's God who is acting perfectly through them. When we remain in Him and He in us, no matter what life you're in. What Teresa has to teach us is that when we are true to allowing him to do it. So how important it is, fathers and mothers, that you begin to realize that within your own hearts. How much do we let God do? And how do we are we self-reliant with regard to our families? Young people, how soon will you begin to learn that it is not your efforts that's going to bring about salvation for yourselves or for the world in all that you want to do for God, that you can't do anything? That's what Jesus is saying. Without me, you can do nothing. Whatever that experience is that brings you to realize that it is he in me and I in him that brings about the world's salvation. You who have maybe a Cursiista, that you learn that, that you learn to pray. Those of you who want to pray, to enter solitude and more prayer and more silence in order to begin to realize that you do have an interior life. Teresa is there, and she's a marvelous example, pointing us to the way. She's a great indicator and a sign for us in our day of that without God, we can do nothing. Nothing. And we just become empty. And so why are we in the position we're in because of the bishops that think they're really serving God, but they aren't relying in their deepest self? Now, only you, Bishop, know that that's true. But if that's what you if that's what you're doing, if you're in charge of your diocese, and you're in charge of the sanctification of souls in your diocese, you're doing nothing, because you can't do anything. Only he is the one who can do it. Priests, you know what is you're the only one. Teresa stands today as a rebuttal to us as we offer Mass, that if I, in my deepest self, am just relying on what I do, if I haven't brought everything of my day as a priest, the encounters that I'm going to have, the meetings that I'm going to have, it's a power. Am I doing today, have I asked God, is this your will? Am I doing your will? Am I responding to what you want? Or am I doing what I want and asking you to bless it? And God is saying, you're doing nothing. And that's the truth. Useless. Useless. It will get cut off. And in the light of eternity, it does nothing. And so I really believe the reason why our churches are so much empty and we're because the ineffectiveness of the programs or whatever I'm doing, or the money or whatever, it's useless. And so the power is what she is indicating to us today, is in allowing God to do it all. He who is in me is mighty, Mary said. He who is in me is bringing about the salvation of the world. He has the plan. He knows what he's doing. And those spirits, the spirit that searches the heart, will know the groanings and intentions. And even now, we're in labor. And it's taking us a long time. So what's 2,000 years in the light of eternity for us in the church to realize that through us, he wants this church to be the instrument of salvation in the world. But he is the one. The church is the Trinity. It's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in me. And into that is plunged Mary, body and soul. And into that is the souls of the holy ones, all of them. In me, I in him, he in me. And heaven is in me, and I in him. The teaching of this great mystery is in prayer. And it's a magnificent teaching that we have today.
And just real quick, Monsignor, I mean, that when you get to the seventh castle, in the interior castle, what so many people look at the fifth and sixth, where there are all these incredible mystical like experiences that she has. But when you get to that seventh, it's just a place where she said all of that, just like St. Paul, is really nothing, because once you're there in union with him, sitting with the bridegroom, then ordinary life, nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. You're just with Jesus.
And that's the fruit, the peace, the joy, the love. That's what heaven is. Do we see in our lives and have that experience, and do we witness to it? She was able in her own lifetime to witness here on earth the fruits of the Spirit. Are you peaceful? Are you joyful? Are you in love? Do you have patience, gentleness, kindness, benignity, long-suffering, self-control? Are all those fruits? And when they're yours, that's heaven. That's what you're going to do in heaven forever. Why? Because he is the source of all of life. He is the source of all power. You do nothing. He does everything. And that's what he wants to do. And through you and with you and in you, all of the saints who are here on earth, who did this and who are reflected this, these are the ones. And that's what lasts forever. And it cannot be taken away. It is theirs now, and it will be yours, and it's yours to claim. And every one of us can have it. That's the tragedy, is that we actually, if all of us fulfill the will of God, what his plan is, that we bring about a kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven.
Final thoughts, Monsignor?
I'd just like to pray that prayer that Jesus taught us. He said, whatever you ask the Father, and he will have this on earth. And so what a kingdom God will have if we all lived the Our Father. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in me on earth as it is in heaven. May that truly come about today, and it can. The kingdom of God can come into this world today, in me and in you. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.
Amen.